Sure. Yeah. So everybody can see. Yeah. Yeah. Is this, it bring back memories of being a kid and shaking the present there? What is it?
Nothing.
Nothing. But it's nice, right? Okay. Yeah. I mean, it came with nice wrapping paper, right? And a nice bow. No, Charity wrapped it for me. It wouldn't have looked as nice if I'd. So what do you think? Is that a great gift?
I like it.
Okay. Tell you what, I'll let you keep the box, right? Thanks for helping me out there. I think our kids are young enough, they'd probably still love that. But just think about Christmas without Christ. Christmas without Christ. That would be pretty empty too, wouldn't it? Try to imagine Christmas without the Savior. Without the message of the Savior, there wouldn't be any joy in this world. Without the light of the gospel, we'd be surrounded by darkness. Without the incarnation, God becoming flesh and dwelling among us, there wouldn't be any hope for the future. I love the Christmas season. I love the songs and the carols and the decorations and the baking and the lights and all of that. But it wouldn't mean anything without Jesus. Without Jesus, life itself would be empty. Maybe there was a time in your life that you can remember, and you, before you met the Lord, when it felt as if something deep within wasn't quite right. Something was missing. You couldn't quite put your finger on it, but there was a void. And you were yearning for something more. And you didn't know where to find it, but you knew you needed something to make you whole. You needed Jesus. And when you found Him, He filled your heart. I want to spend the next couple of weeks talking about the significance of Christ. That's one of the themes that's found throughout the book of Hebrews. We spent some time here the past several weeks in Hebrews in the end of the book, but I want to back up and start in chapter 1. And this week we'll look in chapter 1, and next week we'll spend some time in chapter 2. And look at the question of why was that child born in Bethlehem so important to the world? What significance does he have in our lives today? Well, Scripture shows us that he was no ordinary child, and no ordinary man. He's greater than anyone you've ever met before, and your life will be incomplete without him. So open up in your Bibles with me this morning to Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to focus on the first four verses of the book. Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 4. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels, as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. These first four verses of the letter to the Hebrews is one sentence in the original language, and it's the introduction to the letter. It paves the way for all of the themes that are going to follow. And one of those themes that's woven throughout the book is the preeminence of Christ, that Christ is greater. He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than all because he's God. That was one thing, more than any other, that the author of Hebrews did not want his readers to miss. He wanted them to walk away knowing about Jesus and who Jesus is and why Jesus came. If they didn't learn anything else, that's what he wanted them to see. The original audience was mostly Hebrews, as the title suggests. They were individuals who came from a Jewish background, and as such, they had a special heritage as the people of God. They were a religious people. They had the law. They had the prophets. They had the sacrifices and the temple worship. But what they needed to realize is that all of those things pointed to Jesus Christ. And now Christ has come. And so without him, all of that religious activity would be empty. First of all, the passage shows us that Christ is greater than the prophets. And that's saying something, because the prophets were pretty important people. Throughout the Old Testament and all throughout Israel's history, God raised up individuals who would be his spokesmen. And they were preachers, but they were more than that, because God put his very words in their mouth. And when they spoke, he said, "Thus saith the Lord." He put his utterances on their lips. They were speaking for God. When we think of people like Moses, like Samuel, Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, and many others, they were ordinary people, but God used them in extraordinary ways. He revealed himself to them in all kinds of ways. He spoke to Moses, you remember, in the burning bush. He spoke to Elijah in the still small voice. He spoke to Isaiah in a vision in the temple. He spoke to Daniel through dreams. And as amazing as those experiences must have been, the passage tells us that it's nothing compared to what God would do when he sent his son. We don't have prophets like that today, not in that sense, but we have something better. Look at verse 1 again. It says, "God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son." Notice the comparison between then and now. In the past, God spoke to the forefathers. Today, God is speaking to us. Then he spoke through mediators, go-betweens. Today, he speaks directly through his son. In the past, he gave them pieces of the puzzle, but none of the prophets had all the plan of God. Today, we see the fulfillment of that plan in Christ. Trust me, we're not missing out on anything standing on this side of the cross. We have something better than the prophets. In the Gospels, Jesus told the disciples on one occasion, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but they did not hear it." Luke 10, 23 and 24. Jesus is saying the prophets looked forward to this day. They longed for this day, and it has come. Jesus is greater than the prophets because they were speaking about him. Everything in the Old Testament pointed to something that Christ would do, to his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection. Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy. And the prophets looked ahead to what Christ will do one day when he comes again. He's greater than the prophets because it's through his son that God the Father has perfectly revealed himself to mankind. No middlemen, no go-betweens. He came to the earth in person. Maybe you've had a conversation with someone or you answered the phone for somebody. I do that for Charity sometimes. She'll be busy. She'll be washing dishes or cooking or she has the kids. And her phone rings, and so I pick it up, and it's her mom. And I say, "Hello." And her mom always says, "Boy, you must have a cold, Charity." And we joke, and I say, "Charity, it's your mom." "Oh, I can't talk. I can't hold the phone. Can you tell her I said hi?" Charity says hi. "I'll tell her I said hi." "Your mom says hi, Charity. I have a question for Charity." "Oh, Charity, your mom has a question." And, you know, you're in the middle here, and there's this relaying back and forth. And after a while, you say, "Hey, come on. You know, you guys get together and talk directly. That would be easier, wouldn't it? That would be better." It's even better when you can talk face-to-face in person. And that's what God has done through his son. When Christ came into the world, God spoke to us directly. God sent his message to the prophets, and that was wonderful. But God has done something even greater. And he came in person to deliver a message of good news, to bring his salvation to man. And that tells us how much God must think of us if he would be willing to do that. To leave the glory of heaven and enter this world, to step into the realm of men just to talk to people like us, to bring us a message. He wouldn't have done that if he didn't care. And it impresses upon us how important this message must be. If he's greater than the prophets, then his message is greater. And we need to listen. We need to hear the salvation that he gives. And Christ continues to speak to us today through his word. We need to open its pages and spend time hearing his voice and listening to the message of his salvation. Our passage this morning also shows us that Christ is greater than the angels. That's also very impressive. We read about the ministry of angels all throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. They're always there. God is always using them in different ways. They are heavenly creatures. They are described as being magnificent in appearance and powerful. I think of back to the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sinned and God posted two angels at the entrance of the garden with flaming swords. And I think, wow, that is amazing. The word angel literally means messenger. And we often see them engaged in that activity. You remember that it was an angel who brought the news to Mary that though she was still a virgin, she was going to give birth to a child. And it would be a miracle. And he would be a miracle. He would be the Son of God. And it was an angel who appeared to Joseph and told him not to be afraid to take Mary as his wife, because the child that she was carrying was divine. And it was an angel who announced the birth of Jesus outside the city of Bethlehem to the shepherds. And you remember they were afraid when they first saw the appearance of the angel. The angel lit up the sky and they were afraid. The angel said, "I bring you good news of great joy." And after the announcement was made, a group of angels appeared and sang praises to God. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." But as magnificent as the heavenly host might be, the author of Hebrews wants us to know that Christ is superior in every way. Verse 4 says, "Having become as much better than the angels, he has inherited a more excellent name than they." There's not even a comparison. Angels are heavenly creatures, but Christ is creator of all. Angels are servants of the Almighty, but Christ is the Son of the living God. He will always rule over them. His position will always be infinitely higher. They bow at his feet and they obey the command of his voice. They worship his holy name. When the passage tells us in verse 4 that he became superior to the angels, it doesn't mean that Christ was inferior to them before. But as we'll see next week in our passage in chapter 2, Christ made himself lower for a little while than the angels. He humbled himself. He took on human form. He became flesh and blood. And in his resurrection and ascension, he was exalted to his rightful place at the Father's right hand in heaven. The verses that follow that we didn't read, we'll read some of them. They go on and quote from the Old Testament, especially the Psalms, to prove that Christ is greater. Now skip down to verse 13 and 14. Verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels has he ever said, 'Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet'? Are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who inherit salvation?" The author of Hebrews is telling us that Christ is Lord. He is seated on the throne. The angels do his bidding. He gives the command and they go. He directs them and they follow. They go where he sends. They exist to carry out his will. Comparing the angels to Christ is sort of like comparing the CEO of a billion-dollar company to the intern that brings him his coffee. You know, you go into Microsoft and say, "I want to meet Bill Gates," and he's a little higher in that organization than the guy who gives him the coffee. And if Christ is greater than the angels, then we should worship him. Just as those heavenly messengers erupted in song when they announced the birth of Christ outside of Bethlehem, we ought to be humbled to think that the King of the universe has reached out to us to draw us into fellowship with him. And we can sing his praise. We can join that heavenly choir. We can lift our voices to the Lord, because all creation exalts his name. And we can do the same. Finally, our passage shows us that Christ is greater than all, because he is God. Look back again at verse 3. Verse 3 reminds us that the child that was born in that stable was more than just the son of a humble carpenter. It gives us a summary of his true identity. Verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. If you want to know what God is like, all we need to do is look at the Son. He is God. All of the attributes that belong to the Father also belong to the Son, to Jesus. His glory and power, his holiness and mercy, his righteousness and truth, and everything else that the Father is, so also can be said of the Son. Through Christ, the passage reminds us, God created the entire universe. The Lord spoke, and it came into being. Through Christ, God brought about his work of redemption for fallen man. He came, and he rescued us from sin. Even when Christ came to earth and took on human appearance, he never stopped being God. That deity may have been shrouded for a time, but it was still there. We're not surprised when we see similarities between family members, you know, between a father and a son, a mother and a daughter. You might say, oh, she looks just like her mom. When her mom was that age, wow, that's a spitting image. He looks just like his dad. He's got the same nose, you know, or the same ears. Boy, they even talk the same. I called them the other day, and I thought it was, you know, I thought I was talking to Bob, but I was talking to Bob's son. Boy, he's really growing up. My uncle this week on Facebook posted a picture of when he was in, I think he was a junior in high school. And there was the class at Allen East, I don't remember what year, but it wasn't very big. But I knew exactly which one was my uncle because he looked like my brother looked. I'm like, boy, he's a spitting image of Pat. We're not surprised by those similarities. But the way that Christ is reflective of the Father is even closer than that. There's more than a similarity between Father and Son. Jesus is the imprint or the exact representation of the Father's essential nature. The word that's used here was used of coins that were stamped with the image, and every coin was exactly the same. They bore that image precisely. Jesus, the Son of God, is the exact image of God the Father. If you hold your place here with me, turn back to the Gospel of John, another wonderful book of the New Testament that highlights the deity of Christ. John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. Now, you and I, if we want to find out about what God is like, we can't take a bus and drive to heaven and get out and walk around and meet God there. We can't do that. But God came here to meet us where we are, and to reveal himself and say, here I am. Here is what I am like, and I want you to know me. God, the Son, came and made the Father known. Let's turn a few pages to John 14. John 14. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he's talking about his heavenly Father who sent him. And the disciples have some questions about that. John 14, verse 7. Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Philip said, Lord, you know, you've been talking about your Father, and you know, I'd like to meet him. And Jesus says, Philip, 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 you already have. I've introduced you to him. You've seen him in me. You know, I and the Father are one. If Jesus is God, then we need to receive him as our Savior and as our Lord. He came to earth and reached out to us to draw us into a relationship with him, and we need to enter that relationship by faith. Our lives will never be complete without him. You can run, you can hide, you can ignore him, you can push him away, you can resist him, but your life will never be complete until you open your heart to him. We need his gift of salvation. We need his presence in our lives. We need the hope that only he is able to offer us. And he's come to bring that to us. He says, reach out to me. I'm here. Just believe in my name. Just accept me as Savior and Lord, and I will come into your life and come into your heart and fill you. And we started out this morning talking about that empty gift. You want to hold that up? Do you still have that gift? You're going to cherish that all Christmas, aren't you? The first gift of Christmas, that's special. Just remember, it came from me, buddy. Well, we talked about that empty box, that empty gift, but God's gift is not empty. God's gift is not empty. He's the only one who can fill us. He's the only one who can make us whole. If we leave Jesus out of our life, we're missing the most important thing. If we leave him out of our worship, it is hollow. If we leave him out of our holiday celebration, it's empty. We need him. Christ is greater than the prophets, so let's listen to him. Let's hear his message of good news, and let's share it with others. Just as the prophets spoke of Christ, let us speak of him as well. Christ is greater than the angels, so let us worship him. He deserves our praise. Lift your voices to join that heavenly choir. That's what we were made for, to bring glory to God. Christ is greater than all, so give him the highest place in your life. He's already seated at the right hand of the Father on high. Is he seated on the throne of your heart this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that you are a God who delights in revealing yourself to man. And that is really a mystery. That is really something that is humbling for us to think about. Lord, that you would care enough about us to reach out to these. And we are so small and so insignificant, but we're so special and precious to you. So, Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for not just speaking through prophets, which is great, but doing more than that and speaking to us and coming in person. And we thank you for giving your life for us, giving salvation to us, bringing forgiveness to us, redemption. And Lord, I pray that every person here would know that gift, will have opened that gift for themselves, that would have you in their heart. And Lord, if there's anyone here today who has not done that, I pray you'd be stirring in their hearts. Lord, we all have that void without you. And maybe today you brought them here so that void could be filled. And so right where they are, just quietly in their hearts, I pray that they would call out and say, Father, Lord, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've fallen short of your glory. I know that I am not worthy, but Lord, I am amazed to hear about your love, and I want to know that love for myself. Come into my life. I believe in Jesus as your Son, the Savior of the world. I believe in his death, burial, and resurrection. Enter my life. Bring your forgiveness and make me whole. Lord, we know that when we call out to you in sincerity, in faith, you answer that prayer every time. So Lord, I pray that if there's anyone that is here today and you're working in their heart, that they would call out to you and would come as they are, and that you would minister to them and meet them there and fill their life. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us, that we not only look forward to being with you one day in eternity, but that we are with you every day, and you are with us every day of our lives. We thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen.